work to stay on the right track, or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRHA. Ha, 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 ha. We don't speak...
CGA now.
CGA, Criminal and Gangs Anonymous. Isn't it SWA, like Sex Workers Anonymous, too?
No, we really don't want to speak for CGA because they might come and kill us.
Yeah. What would Sex Workers Anonymous do?
Yeah, I wonder what a slip looks like in CGA.
It's probably a body count.
Yeah. A little more serious than, you know.
Could be.
I went out on a drive-by.
Wow. You know what? Hey, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Could be. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
We're eating stuff from 85 degrees. Unfortunately, most of you do not know what 85 degrees is because there's only two of them in the United States. But there's 2,000 of them worldwide.
They're, ass-kicking pastry place.
If you're somewhere like in Asia, you probably know who they are.
And
they
by the
started
way,
in Vietnam,
the way,
but they're all over.
Have you had the 85-degree coffee?
Yes. Sea salt coffee, and I've had latte there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And,
stuff.
Oh, their cappuccino slushies,
mm-hmm.
Better than Starbucks coffee
Frappuccinos, yeah.
We should get them as a sponsor.
We should.
Maybe I can send over to talk to them.
Awesome. Yes.
Yes, please. With free coupons.
Okay.
Does she speak Vietnamese, though?
No.
I think the owners of that place are Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But... who knows?
Yep.
So, that's good stuff.
Yes, it is.
We've been chowing. You know what that means?
What's it mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Kind of had a lame start off on that.
Yeah.
All right. Shout outs to Brian, Bill, Donald, Phil, Deborah. And Katie Uck.
Uck.
And a shout out to Fran. She's hanging in there.
Our number one Fran.
Let's see. Where are we going now?
Let's take a trip.
We're going to Agoura Hills, California.
Ah. Right,
I'll just get some gas. I don't think I need to pack a bag for that. It's not that far.
County prosecutors are charging the Days of Our Lives actor, Dylan Michael Patton.
Knights of Our Wives.
Three names.
Yes, he was charged with one count of cocaine possession. He seized an unspecified amount. But apparently it was enough that if he is convicted, he will get 9 years in prison.
Oh.
So it's a bit.
It must have been a significant amount.
It's a bit.
Well...
they said that
it could even be an 8-ball if it's all split up into quarters or something.
They said they believed he was selling, but maybe I guess they don't have enough evidence to charge him with that. So
and they haven't decided how much they were taking personally yet. That's why this is an undisclosed amount.
Well, normally, you know, like there's a lot of people that like would maybe do an 8-ball or even a quarter or even an ounce. But if you've got that and you've got it all in half-gram bags or something, that's going to be a possession with intent to sell.
Mm-hmm. All right, now...
we always thought the good defense was, well, we just wanted to know how much we were using.
Yeah
right.
We wanted to have some left, so we were going to hide it in places.
Well, yeah, but I knew a guy that told a cop one time because he had, like, several bags, and mm-hmm. The guy goes, the cop is... but and he's admitting, the guy, yeah, I've got it, it's mine. And then the cop goes, well, you're going to sell this. He goes, no. And he was straight up with the guy. He goes, I slam, and I like to know how much I'm doing.
Oh.
He goes, I've known many people that just take a chunk off, and the next thing you know, they're
dead.
Grand mal seizuring on the floor on their way to the ticket out.
Okay. We have Lilo news.
Well,
really?
What would a day without Lilo is like a day without sunshine.
We actually have two stories, but I squashed them together.
On Lilo?
Yes.
Jeez.
She wants to, you know, she was sentenced to a 90-day lockdown rehab.
Yeah. Betty Ford.
Well, originally she was supposed to go somewhere else, but then
should have sent her to Impact House.
She didn't show up for it, so but she said she, because she didn't go to the one that the court ordered her to go to, because they wouldn't let her smoke. But the Betty Ford Center would. So she checked into the Betty Ford Center, and the court accepted it.
But they won't let her take her Adderall.
But, yes, now she's desperate to get out of Betty Ford, and she's done a bunch of research finding a place that will let her take her Adderall, which she claims she needs for
ADHD.
Attention deficit.
What is Adderall?
It's an attention deficit disorder drug.
Yeah.
It's speed.
Oh.
Yeah. But they're all speed.
Yeah, because it has a paradoxical effect. And people that actually do have ADD or ADHD.
Right. You give them speed, it slows them down.
It slows them down. Speed has a paradoxical effect.
My son's got ADHD.
That's what they used to do at Ritalin, right?
Yeah, but you know, like, no meds, forgot my meds, we're out somewhere.
Yeah.
Double espresso calmed him right down.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So she was trying to get out of the Betty Ford Center, and the law enforcement says that's not going to happen.
No.
The prosecutor is quoted as saying she had 45 days to find a suitable place. She didn't listen to her people and did what she wanted, so it's her problem now.
You know, if she doesn't take the Adderall and she's got ADHD, and then she comes out and she relapses, she could claim that because of her attention deficit disorder untreated, she didn't get it.
She wasn't able to pay attention to what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the Betty Ford Clinic does not usually let patients take Adderall because it's addictive.
She's obviously not a chess player.
And because...
didn't think that many moves ahead.
They especially will not let Hollywood types take it at the Betty Ford Center because most of them are using it to control their weight.
Mm-hmm.
And she has gained 5 pounds since she went into Betty Ford, so she must be panicking by now.
Not a small girl to start with.
Well, she's not huge.
She's not too big.
She's not.
Right before, now this story, the next story, Lilo's story, takes place right before she checked into Betty Ford.
Uh-huh.
She did an interview.
Flashback. Recovery 101 flashback.
She did an interview with Piers Morgan.
Oh, God.
Yep.
This was a very long article. It appeared in the Daily Mail.
Mm-hmm.
She claims she doesn't do drugs anymore, and she's not an alcoholic and doesn't need rehab. It's a waste of time for her. It's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
She's been in rehab 6 times. She said she can write the book on rehab.
Oh, of course she can. Yeah. I'll go right out and buy it.
She claims everyone has a misconception of her. Of course, you know, the poor little misunderstood Lindsay.
Yep.
She said that everyone thinks she's done cocaine so many times.
Yep.
She said she's only done it maybe 4 or 5 times.
Yep.
Bullshit.
And that she didn't really like it. She just happened to get caught twice.
I didn't like it either. I liked the way it smelled.
Yeah. I hated cocaine, but I loved the way it smelled.
Now, she did admit that she enjoys pot and ecstasy.
You know, how unlucky is Lindsay Lohan? I've only done it 4 times, and twice I got caught. You know what the odds of that are?
Yeah.
It's like astronomical.
Yeah. That's just bad luck, Lindsay.
You know what? I did cocaine like thousands of times, and I never got caught.
BLA, Bad Luck Anonymous.
Yeah.
Now, she claims she's never been a huge drinker.
Bullshit. Every time I see pictures of her, she's hammered.
Yeah. She said that she once talked to Heath Ledger, who actually, you know, he died of prescription drug overdose.
Yeah.
Who told her that he quit drinking and she could do just to quit for a year and see how it went.
Yeah.
So she said she did, and she said she didn't miss it. She felt good.
When was this year?
I don't know, because it wasn't any year that we remember.
No, there's nothing recent.
Is
this about when she did the Parent Trap for Disney?
She was 9.
When she was 9?
Possibly. Possibly. So she said if she doesn't have a drinking problem, and then why is she always in jail, and why is she ending up in rehab for the 7th time? And I'm quoting her. She said, "This is where it gets hard for me to explain."
Yeah, I'll bet.
Ooh, whoops.
Yes.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Okay, we're moving
Available
on.
Available for sober coaching.
Yeah, we're going to, we have sad
I don't
news.
Think I'd sober coach her.
I would.
Slayer, you know the rock band, the thrash metal rock band Slayer, the guitarist Jeff Hanneman has passed away. He was 49 years old.
Oh.
Of?
Natural causes?
Yes and no. I mean, natural because he had an issue, but it's not drugs and alcohol. He wasn't known for being a big, huge druggie or alcoholic.
No.
He was bitten. He was in a hot tub with some friends, and he was bitten by a spider. and he got necrotizing fasciitis, almost lost his arm.
Oh.
Wow.
This was 2 years ago. He recovered from that mostly, but they believe that because of the damage done to his liver, that that was why he died of liver failure.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's technically a natural cause because it's...
He died of spider.
But he, it was because he got bitten by this spider 2 years ago.
Remind me never to bitch at Shelley for getting out the slipper of doom to kill spiders.
Yep. Shelley keeps us safe.
He got
here.
Necrotizing fasciitis from a spider bite?
Yeah, and actually the picture in the article, he's on stage in the picture, and you can see where they had to cut all the tissue off of his arm because the scarring. You can see, like, the pitted scarring where they cut all the tissue. He almost lost his arm. He was in the hospital.
I told everybody I had a tattoo removed.
Yeah. Big tattoo.
Yeah.
So the rock world will miss him.
Yes,
that's
we will.
Very sad. Okay. Now,
I myself not a Slayer fan, but condolences to his family and fans.
Yes. Okay, we don't have a name on the peacock in this story.
It's called NBC.
I believe, maybe it's Florida.
Florida!
Maybe.
Maybe Florida.
Page County, the Daily Herald, I think that's Florida. But at any rate, David Beckman, 64 years old, has been charged with cruelty to animals when he was caught having relations with his pet peacock, who then died.
Wow.
But there's no name for this peacock. He,
What did it die of?
Well, wait a minute. Here's the big question.
Yeah.
Not that it really matters. Is it a peacock or a peahen?
It just says peacock in the story. A pet peacock.
Well, because peacock's a male, and peahen is a female. Doesn't make it any better, either way. It's not like that one. Did you see that article about that one woman that videotaped abusing dogs?
No.
Did you see this? Mm. Oh, my God. It was all over, like, CNN and stuff. Like, videotaped herself, like, meat-cleaving dogs and stuff. It was horrifying.
Okay, I didn't need to hear that.
Yeah, no, it was big news.
Was she Vietnamese?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
Because she's Vietnamese, it's food prep.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I knew a Filipino guy that used to eat dog. He's like, dog's good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what kind of dog do you eat? And he goes, different dog tastes different. I'm like, wow, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, just because you've never had dog doesn't mean it's not good. I'm like, oh, okay.
Let's say in Palos Hills, this is in Chicago, Cook County, limo driver Richard Madison, 54 years old, is charged with DUI. He was driving a party bus with 23 18-year-old high school students on their way, 17, 18-year-olds, on their way to their prom. He breathalyzed at .239.
That's high.
Wow.
Pretty high. Kids all got on the party bus. You know, their parents paid for this party bus thinking it would keep them safe because they knew that their kids were probably going to do something nefarious.
Yes.
And they figured they'd have somebody else driving them to and from the event.
The drunk guy.
Not knowing that the guy would be drunk. So the kids are in the party bus having fun when the bus starts swaying and driving erratically and jumping medians. So the kids were like, something's wrong here. So a few of them texted or called their parents, who then called the police. The bus did make it to the prom. Kids got off. Cops got on.
Who drove them home?
The parents had to all come and pick them up.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You know what? If you think about it, that was probably an excellent lesson for those kids, because I'm sure that it was, you're going over medians, I'm sure that's extremely scary when you're not driving.
Especially in a bus.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Some guy, did you see the guy that drove his car into a parade?
Yeah.
Injured 50, didn't kill anyone, amazingly enough, but injured 50 people.
Yep.
Do
you have the NTSB story about the changing the B8, the blood alcohol level?
No.
Yeah, NTSB has recommended that they change the legal limit from 0.08 to 0.05.
Wow, that's not even one drink.
Yeah. First group to come out against it, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers came out against it.
Really?
Why? Yep.
They said that this time would be better spent doing things like having a bigger police presence on the road and putting in interlocking devices into cars of people who've been convicted, and not necessarily punishing people who haven't done anything wrong, but to be able to punish people who have offended.
0.05 is you'd surpass that with one beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Actually, 0.08 you can get to with one beer.
Yeah.
Depends on your body weight.
Because they want to try to catch up to the fact that there are other countries that 0.05 is the legal limit.
Wow. I mean, I don't, to be honest with you, I could care less. I couldn't care less either. You know, I don't care if they make it 0.1. I'm not going to have that, so I don't care.
Yeah.
You
could have dessert at my house and maybe hit close.
That's a money-making thing. That's a money-making thing.
Yeah.
For
the
states.
Yeah.
State
because if you get a DUI, there's a lot of money involved in
It's expensive.
The fines are heavy.
Okay, last story for tonight, or for this show. In Iran.
Once I ran
now,
to you.
The name of the man is not given, but the picture was absolutely classic. His jail picture, he looks, eyes like saucers, like crack eyes, just gigantic eyes.
Crack
like
eyes.
Staring at the camera like, he made a wee mistake. He trusted a stranger who, the stranger claimed to be a sorcerer. And told this man that he could make him invisible so that he could rob a bank.
Ooh. How'd that work out?
And he believed him. He paid him £290, which I don't know how much that is in dollars. It's like $220, something like that, U.S. dollars, to this wizard who gave him a set of spells to tie to his arm. And he said that those spells would make him instantly invisible and he could walk in and rob the bank all he wanted.
You think that you'd test that out at, say, I don't know, McDonald's. Just walk in there and see if they ask for your order.
Right. Yeah. You'd think you would, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So he went in to rob the bank.
Shit.
He started... what he did, he didn't like walk up and like try to grab money out of it. He walked up to the line of customers and started grabbing things out of their hands. So they got ticked off, overpowered him. The gendarmes were called, and he was arrested. When he was in court, he told the judge...
I was never there.
He said, I made a mistake. I understand now what a big trick was played on me. Not, I made a mistake, I robbed a bank.
Yeah.
Right.
But I understand what a big trick was played on me.
Nice try.
Dip shit.
And how much time did he get?
It doesn't say in the story, actually.
A bunch.
Yeah.
It's Iran. I'm sure he'll probably be in jail for the next 20 years.
Be lucky he doesn't get his arms cut off. I heard a guy in a meeting last night who was from, I don't know if it was Iran, a Middle Eastern country, and he said when he first came to America, he said, I had never drank anything before. He goes, my religion is like specifically you don't drink.
Right.
He goes, oh my God, the first time I had a beer, I had like 48 beers. He goes, it was the greatest thing ever. And he goes, 2 years later, I'm destitute. I'm on the streets. He goes, I got nothing because I'm spending all my money on Mary. He goes, I thought, sweet mystery of life, I have found you.
Yes.
He goes, it almost killed me.
Well, that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelley.
To the same old place that you laughed about.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce?
All right.
Let's get on with, what's the topic?
They need a sauce like that. Like some kind of barbecue sauce. Awesome sauce. I'm gonna copyright that. We got a topic put on at Podomatic from Naked Zombie Drummer, which is like the coolest name ever.
Yeah, I like that.
And he wanted to hear about balance.
Balance.
You know, purportedly, you know, balancing your off time, your recovery time, with your real life. You know, how do you balance things? We've had this topic before, but it's been a while. And I don't know what we can call it. I had a thing for it somewhere, balance sheet or something like that.
Why do we call it balance? Where did it come from?
Came from Naked Zombie Drummer.
No. I mean, why we say the word that way? It was a joke from something.
Oh.
A long time ago, and I forget why we say balance.
Yeah, I don't know. Balancing act, I think we'll call this. Balance. I don't know. I do not recall. Now, we've tendered opinions on this subject before, and we're going to tender them on them again now. So when you hear, Shelley, we'll start with you, when you hear someone say, talk about balance in the program, what do you immediately think of? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Balancing their lives inside and outside the program.
How do you do that?
Right now, I don't know. I'm having a little trouble with the balancing act right now. I'm at my meeting minimum. I'm totally swamped. Work is kicking my butt. So I'm just kind of hanging on. I won't give up those two meetings because I won't go below that. But at the same time, I have to question people who have, you know, I mean, obviously it's working, people who have umpty zillion years, but there's, like, in my women's meeting, there's a gal that, you know, she's successful, she has her own business, but she's complaining she never has any time for anything, and then in a meeting a few weeks ago, she was talking about the fact that she goes to, like, 10 meetings a week. I was like, well, there's your problem right there. I mean, if she feels she needs that many meetings, okay, but, you know, she's got, like, 25 years. At some point, you need to be able to use the tools in your everyday life to get the life that the program so freely gives you. You know, you can't just... Okay, and if you're going to go to that meeting, then don't bitch about the fact that you don't have any time.
Well, then that's
you
true.
Know, because you could, you know, not go to a couple and have a few more hours to get something else done.
I go to 4, and I do the show. So 5.
You know, show is not a meeting. If you need a meeting, you need to be getting off the computer and going to
the
meeting.
There's 2 or 3 are gathered together. God is in the midst. Why not? I mean, really. Now, Mark.
Yes.
Balance. What do you immediately think of when someone says balance?
Balancing... I think of the perception that people have, which is what Shelley brought up, of balancing your meetings and your program and your personal life. But I'm not sure.
But?
I'm not sure that program doesn't encompass all of that. You know, because my program isn't necessarily just reading the book and going to meetings and doing the things that I do as part of the program. The program for me, the program of recovery for me is all of it. It's what happened to all those hours that I don't use anymore? I used many hours every day. I should have had a lot of free time on my hands. I should still have a lot of free time on my hands because I don't use anymore.
But when you first got clean, you probably did.
I did. I had tons of free time.
Yeah, where'd it go?
Real life.
But it's part of your program. I mean, it's part of what I do. You know, work is part of my program. Time with friends and family is part of my program. Meetings is part of program. you know, working a step is part of program. It's all part of, you know, how do we balance out our days? How do we make sure that the highs aren't too high, the lows aren't too low, and that we keep crossing back over center as often as we possibly can? And I find part of it for me is, you know, they described this program to me when I came in as the pendulum on a clock. You don't want to let it swing too far one way or the other. You have a hard time getting back to center.
Right.
So if I just keep my swings to a point where I don't get real whacked out about them one way or the other, I can come back to center a lot quicker and get the things done I need to get done.
When I met my sponsor, I didn't meet him at a meeting. I met him at Starbucks. Sat there, smoked a couple cigars with this guy several times. And I'm listening to him talk. He's talking about his day and this and that and everything. And I'm listening to him, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, this guy sounds like he's living program to me. And I looked at him, I said, are you a friend of Bill W.? And he goes, oh, yeah, for a long time. And I'm like, I thought so. Because it was an example of someone who, not at a meeting, you know, away from a meeting, carrying the principles of the program around with him in his pocket. And it didn't take me long before I could just pick it out from him that he was in program.
Yeah. I mean, there's weeks where I'll go to a meeting. There's weeks I'll go to four meetings. It just depends on the time I have. And I don't sacrifice one for another for too long of a time. I did it one time.
So did my sponsor.
You know. But, you know, it's just, not going to meetings doesn't mean I'm not working a program. You know, not being of service doesn't mean I'm not working a program. Not spending time with my family doesn't mean I'm not working a program. Not working doesn't mean I'm not working a program. I just have to balance those things out and prioritize. What do I have to get done this week? And what has to not get done this week?
Right.
You know.
Now, Shelley, what would you tell a sponsee that's having a problem with the balancing act?
Well, it depends on where they are in terms of their recovery. Because if they're new, basically your life is program. I mean, it has to be. You have to sort of immerse yourself in the program. That's just what happens.
Let's say they have 6 years.
Well, then we have to take a look at where we can maybe move some things around.
Like?
If they've got 6 years and they're stable, mm-hmm. and working the steps and using the tools, mm-hmm. I'd say maybe you need an evening at home.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to that meeting, or
let's say they had 6 years and they had a job and a house and sang in a choir.
Oh, you're talking about
and
me?
Well, I saw that this was going immediately.
I did drop immediately. The problem is I don't get to stay at home. I just had too many.
Well, what if you have to?
What, stay at home?
Yeah, you need to be at home.
I don't really get to. That's the problem is I've overcommitted myself to so many things.
Okay.
That
what do you need to drop?
What do I need to drop? What do I need to drop? I need to drop.
She looks at me. Wow. Look straight at me. What do I need to drop, Bruce?
I don't know that I need to drop anything. I think that what I need to do is figure out a way to get somebody to come in and clean my house.
Then why don't you do that?
Well, we did have somebody come in. And it was a horrible experience. One time, the guy came in. Was not happy with that at all.
Why don't you hire a professional?
Oh, yeah, I think maybe a.
It was
actual,
a professional.
It was a professional. It was horrible. He stained my bathroom counter with his cleaning supplies.
I still don't see it.
Why don't you hire a different professional?
I know. I've got to do something because I can't. Part of my frustration is that I don't have enough time. This is the first time in my life because I used to always say, I'm never going to get a house cleaner. I can do it myself.
Yeah, you know what? Shelly
doesn't have time.
Shelly has applied for a new job. If she gets it, I'm thinking Molly Maids.
Yeah, because I can't. If I want to stay sane, I have to be able to come home and not have to slog through all this crap.
Yeah.
And I recognize that. Mm-hmm. It's just at this moment, I can't do anything about that right now, which is why the house looks like this. But I can't. You know, in terms of like the balance thing, I did give up a meeting or two. I mean, I used to occasionally go to a Saturday. Well, now they don't have that Saturday meeting anymore. But I used to go to that once in a while. I'd go to the Monday evening one, but I had to scale back on that.
And what did you do instead of those things?
I made sure I was texting or calling my sponsor, and you know, I do read the book.
Well, no, but what did you do with that hour and a half or 2 hours? Actually, you know, in reality, for you to not go to a meeting gives you about 5 hours.
Right, because I'm not going to coffee either.
Right.
But then...
Sometimes you do.
So what did you do with that 5 hours?
Well, one evening ended up being working because I worked late that night, which is why I had to give up that meeting.
Okay.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Not going on the Saturday one? By the time I get to the end of the week, because my knees are so bad right now, I literally spend 2 hours sitting. Literally.
Well,
not doing anything. Reading a book, sitting.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's Saturday night is like my favorite night because I can't do anything physically. So I don't know. This is the show where we fix Shelley's problem. Is that what it is?
I have a juggling act. I had a guy one time, for whatever reason, thought I was sleeping with his wife. And the funny thing is, when I'm at work, and everybody who's ever been to my store knows this, both of my drivers are in the program. They're there every day. Then during the day, I will get 4 or 5 other people through the entire day that are there.
Mm-hmm.
I get off work, say on a Monday. I get off work. I go from work to the meeting, of which I stop to pick up donuts on the way.
I get to the meeting
mm-hmm. because there's less than an hour by the time I get out of the meeting when I get out of work and I go to the meeting, plus the driving time, plus to get the donuts. Then I go there. Shelley will come to that Monday night meeting. We get out of the meeting. We immediately go to Starbucks.
Right.
We come back. And then that is really what my week is like. I get off. Now, Shelley doesn't do choir on Wednesdays anymore.
Well, it's not right now. We probably will.
I get off. I used to get off from work at 7 o'clock, I would go to the 7 to 8 o'clock meeting, which is half a block from where my work is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would meet Shelley at wherever we'd go have dinner or we'd go to coffee.
Uh-huh.
And after coffee, I'd go home, go to bed, get up in the morning, go to work again. Then I'd sit there all day at work. And I do, it's like, I have like a weird balancing act because every single day, I just don't have a lot of free time. And Shelley knows this too. When it's my day off, I never end up having free time on my day off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will be the first to admit, I sleep in on my days off.
Yeah.
I sleep in.
Power sleep.
Yeah, I'll power sleep.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing for me is, I don't really have extra time. I just don't.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's because I'm balancing well, but I mean, I go to 4 meetings a week, and we do the show, and I go to work 5 days a week, and most of my time every day, you can find me pretty easily, depending on what time of day it is. And, but there's other times where I'm like, you know, I like to go fishing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I could go fishing on one of my days off. Probably not Sunday because we do the show on Sundays, but on Tuesday, if I chose to go fishing, I could go fishing.
You could. You could get off work on Monday and just come home.
No, I can't because I have a commitment on Monday night. I'm the treasurer.
You could get done with your meeting on Monday and you could just come home.
But I couldn't go fishing.
No, I
couldn't go fishing.
On Tuesday?
That's why I'm giving Shelley her alone time.
I
see. She's already
agree
no.
With what where he's going with this is part of my problem with the balancing act is that I've gotten into this habit, this rut of going out for coffee all the time.
Yeah,
and it's late at night when we do this, and so I'm always exhausted because I never get enough sleep. Because by the time I get home and get all my other crap done, you know, I go to bed at midnight, and then I get up again in the morning and go to work.
God, I wish I went to bed at midnight.
You could.
I promote the show, though.
Yeah, but that ends at midnight.
I know, but then after I'm done promoting the show every night for an hour and a half or 2 hours, then if I want to do anything else, that's when I got to do it, because otherwise I'm promoting the show.
And that's your balance.
Huh?
And that's your balance.
Yeah. That's like, been my balance.
Like, I know certain things. Like, I know if I need to find you before 9:15 on any morning, I have to come knock on your door.
No, you
or
could
just
call.
Open the back door and go in and poke him.
You could
call. So I know, but I know that. And I know 5 days a week between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., I'm going to find you at your store.
Yep.
And I know that 4 days a week between 7 p.m. and 9 or 9:30, I'm going to find you at a meeting. And I know at 9, 9:30, 5 nights a week, I'm going to find you at Starbucks.
Maybe 85 degrees now.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of my problem. I need to, part of my balancing act is going to have to be giving up some of the coffee excursions because I need that hour and a half in the evening.
Well, you know what's funny? It's not
it's
like
the attack of Mothra.
It's not like it used to be. We used to go to Starbucks with 15 people.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times it's Shelley and I, maybe Michael and Jimmy, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not really. Sometimes it's Shelley and I.
Which is people that you are with all day already.
Right.
That you've already shared every
well, except
story
Shelley.
With. Except Shelley.
So I get to share the stories with Shelley.
Yeah.
And that's where I hear them from her.
Well, so anyway, I don't know how we got off on this odd tangent.
Because we were talking about
balancing
solving your problems.
Oh, solving my problems. But there was something that you said earlier, actually, that when you were talking about that balance, your whole life, it's not just mm-hmm. your program isn't compartmentalized into mm-hmm. one thing, it's part of your life. And I agree with that to a large extent. I find myself, you know, as unbalanced as I feel right now, I know I still have the tools and I'm still using them because I'll find myself at work when somebody is upset about something or that something's gone wrong or whatever, and I'll say, well, do the footwork. Do your best and leave the results to your higher power. And they look at me oddly, and then I realize what I said mm-hmm. because that's what goes through my head when I mm-hmm. get stressed at work. Just do your best and leave the results to mm-hmm. God because that's all you can do. But mm-hmm. things like that happen to me a lot at work, during the day.
I mean, I go to work, and I find when I go to work, I'm grateful.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be able to get, I love my job.
You know, and then, you know, I mean, I was grateful last night because I sat on my couch for 3.5 hours and watched a hockey game. Nobody bothered me. Nobody came around. Nobody called me. I sat for 3.5 hours and watched a hockey game. It was a great night.
I don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that either.
Yeah.
If I get 3.5 hours altogether, I'm like, okay, I have a chunk of time. What can I get done?
So
that's what I got done.
Then, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the subject be?
I don't know. Go to Mark first.
Mark, what would your final words on the subject be?
In order to achieve balance, make sure you have a solid enough foundation to stand on.
Ooh, there you go, Shelley. Look at that. You just zing that one right on there.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, clearly he did.
I don't know. If you find yourself feeling unbalanced in the program, talk to your sponsor and figure out why. I mean, it's not rocket science.
It is not. I think my final words on balancing act is, you know what, if you're having a problem balancing everything around, there's always that thing you can do, which is do the next indicated thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're having a problem and you need to have something done and you don't think you have the time, do that thing. And then when you're done with that thing, go do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And eventually, everything will balance out.
By the way, I had a guy share in a meeting one time. He did a great, like, 5-minute share on this wasn't rocket science. After the meeting, you know, I found out the guy works at JPL.
he is a rocket scientist.
Rocket scientist.
That's awesome. So, Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go to our site, recovery101.net, and scroll down to our sponsor links. There are several there. We would appreciate you visiting all of them. But you can visit the 12-Step Gazette. You can click on the link. It'll take you right to his
fine publication,
which you can read online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and ask him to send you some copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelley.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
Awesome. Go to recovery. Any way that you'll send the show is great, but if you can go to recovery101.net, that's our site, and click on one of the shows, then click like permalink. If you are a member, terrific. You've just helped us out. You've been counted. If you're not, you can have an opportunity to become a member, and you should do that.
It's fun and free.
It's free, yes. You can get automatic updates when we post the shows. You can follow us. You can post topic suggestions and comments. If you post topic suggestions, please do it in the top show so that Bruce sees it quickly.
And we will do them.
And we will do them.
Like we did tonight.
And you can also put us on playlists for your Friday night party needs.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. By the way, yes, if you've heard shows before, you've linked them from Facebook, you've heard them on iTunes, it's completely okay to go to pages further back where those shows appear and like those shows on Podomatic.
Just a handful at a time, though.
Yeah, just don't go in and like 700 shows. They're going to cut your account thinking that you're one of us or something doing it. But if you've heard lots of shows before and you go back to a previous page and you click permalink on like three or four shows and you like them, that's okay. That helps as well. Especially if, I'm not telling you to do it if you've never heard the show before, but you could. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself too damn seriously.
That's right. Shelley.
Yes.
Who's the lead on music by?
That's by Looking for Trouble.
Looking for Trouble. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
And I promise to tell you no lies. I got a secret obsession, a pleasure that satisfies. It's got curves in all the right places, a V8 and 4 on the floor. It takes me to faraway places where I'm wild about my Thunderbird 4. I'll take a ride. Chevy or Dodge, but honey, don't be absurd. You know the only car you're parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Sliding right beside me, and I promise to make you a man. And if you want, I'll find somebody who can. Don't ask me how it handles. Don't ask how fast it drives. I'm not that good with the details, but my Tiber makes me feel so alive. I'll take a ride in your Chevy or Dodge, but honey, don't be absurd. The only car that's parking in my garage.